Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
Good morning. How are you doing? Are you all right? I want to put a disclaimer that this session, the subject is healing, but you're not allowed to just hear what I'm preaching. These are one of the preachers that if you don't act on what you hear, it was better that you didn't hear. Amen? So you don't want to hear about healing if you are not planning to do anything with healing. If you're not prepared to go to the sick, then don't hear about healing. That's a disclaimer, because I don't want you to hear a good message. I want you to catch the heart of God when it comes to healing. He is our healer. His nature, you heard last night, his nature is to love, but in his nature it is to heal. God loves to heal. And so I want to make a few statements up front. And how many of you have ever seen a YouTube clip or on Facebook when they take someone who's colorblind? Anyone colorblind here? And you see that they I'm here. Anyway, I'm being naughty now. And the family would gather around the particular family member that's colorblind, and they would get them that set of glasses. And they'd unwrap this birthday present, and they're thinking, what's this? And then the minute they put those glasses on, they just begin to weep because they can see color. That's what I believe God wants to do when it comes to healing. He just wants to bring color where we begin to say, oh yeah, I know healing. Oh, I can see. He wants to heal. There's a from black and white to every color imaginable in an instant. That's what God wants to do with our hearts when it comes to how we view healing. I love reading of Smith Wigglesworth, and I read about him early in my 20s, and he made a statement in a book that I've never forgotten. And he says this, coming back to the song saying, I can see, I have a future, I can see. And he says, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by what I believe. That was Smith Wigglesworth's way. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by what I believe. In the book of John, you have the word believe 87 times, which is more than Matthew, Mark, and Luke combined. And one third of the entire Bible on the word believe is found in the book of John. And Jesus says, if you only believe, these things will happen. If you only believe, if you believe, if you believe. So this session is not about what you think. It's about what you believe that results in an action. Amen. And one other one. I remember a story reading of Oral Roberts. I don't know if anyone heard of Oral Roberts. A great man that moved in healing, and there's a guy by the name of James Cowell. I don't know if I'm pronouncing him. Anyone know him? Anyway, he's a great man of God, great prophet, intercessor overseas, and twice he had beaten cancer medically, and the third time he gets cancer, and he has this opportunity that Oral Roberts, before he died, he used to invite groups of men that God was using to his house, and so he gets his invitation to actually meet with him. And he says, I got my chance, one-on-one with Oral Roberts. And he said it lasted all of 15 seconds. And he just said, he just put his hands on me. He said, I curse this cancer in Jesus' name. That was the 15 seconds. He said, I felt the current of God. He says, today, I'm still cancer-free. 15 seconds. That's how much Oral Roberts carried the healing nature of God in his being. That he would just take 15 seconds. And I'm going, God, that's what I'm, that's the color. That's what I want to see. But there has to be a process. So I wanted to stir your faith this morning that God wants to use us to heal. And I'm not just talking about physical healing. Amen. Let's pray. I get rid of my gum because if my wife was here, she would just be saying, stop chewing. Good wife. Father, thank you for your presence that's here. Lord, as you want to bring impartation of healing for people to be anointed to heal. You're also wanting to heal people this morning. Father, we just thank you for faith in this room. I thank you for the atmosphere of faith. I thank you that faith is rising, Lord, and without faith it's impossible to please you. That, Lord, we become men and women who are convinced that God heals. And that we go even one step further this morning, that we believe that God would heal through us. Because we are his beloved. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I have another statement I wanted to read. God's visible. Okay, guy, I get the... Hey, brother, I need to be close to the people. God's visible. Yo, they need breaks here. Do they? Yeah, no, I don't. I never have breaks. Sorry. If I break, I slow down. God's visible, listen to this, and permanent kingdom impacts the visible, the physical, and the natural world by means of men and women who are born of the Spirit into the kingdom of God. God's visible, eternal, and permanent kingdom impacts our visible, physical, natural world by means of men and women who are born again of the Spirit into the kingdom of God. That means you and I. So my title is Healing the Whole Man in Christ. Why do I say that? The Bible tells me 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may now the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I believe healing is body, soul, and spirit. Amen? Sometimes I think the sicknesses that are on the inside of us are more dangerous than the sickness on the outside of our body. If you look at something like depression and fear and anxiety, those things, but God wants to set us free from those things. Amen? I don't want to go down that road. I'll just behave myself. So one of the attributes of God is healer, Jehovah Rapha. Exodus 15:26, it says, for I am the Lord your healer. John Wimber's research shows that out of the 3,779 verses in the Bible, which is 20% of them, 727 verses, are all to do with healing. 20%. I would say that it would be a lot more if we had to just look at the life and ministry of Jesus when it came to healing. So my first point, I literally have 45, so let's see how far I can get, because healing is huge. Healing is huge. You talk about the body, you talk about the soul, and you talk about the spirit. So I'm going to try my best. First one, sickness is not from God. You need to be convinced of that. Sickness, let's just get that one out here. Sickness does not come from God. I do not put sickness on my son Daniel, whose his birthday today, he's turned 11. I don't put sickness on him to teach him a lesson to understand my nature and my character. Come on. And then next to him, my son, God heals someone, and he says, but you give me sickness, but you heal him. How does that? In our minds, we've got to understand this thing that God does not put on sickness. We live in a fallen world, yes. And there is a spiritual realm where there are demonic influences. So for us to have a reference point that we start off by saying sickness is from God, you need to correct your theology. That is not in his nature. He is a perfect father, scripture says. A perfect father. So I cannot look at God and say, God, you put this on this person. And we've been taught that. I was taught that. Ministry of suffering. God's called you to suffer, so he's given you sickness, so you'll learn lessons about him. Wow, how sick is that? takes away something of the powerful cross when we add that and we want to believe that. So that's point number one. Point number two, if that is the truth, we are now in a new and a better covenant in his blood. If God healed in the Old Testament, and he did, but here in the New Testament, we have a better covenant sealed in his blood. I'll talk a little bit more about that. Therefore, that's what it's there for. Healing is the birthright of all God's children. Legally, from a legal point of view, in the courts of heaven, by his blood, it's been paid in full. So it's not negotiable with God about healing. It's finished on the cross. It's done. It's complete. God doesn't need to do anything more to satisfy sin, sickness, death, the grave. We're running out of the grave. Amen? So that's the truth, is that it's your birthright as a child of God, healing. So we don't go and beg for it. My son doesn't come, please, can I have some food for supper? It's his right, because I'm his father, I'm his provider. Makes sense? So it leaves me this question. Why and how can we see and experience healing today? Here is the answer. The cross gave us access to the supernatural power of God. Jesus' death and resurrection gave us access to the realm of the supernatural. And we can unpack that a little bit. True supernatural power is ultimately found in the revelation of the cross of Christ. When we understand what Jesus did on the cross, profoundly changes the way you view sickness. Amen. I'll get there. The cross symbolizes everything that Jesus did to carry out God's will on the earth and to complete his redeeming work for mankind. God restored our authority that we lost in the garden. Come on. Come on. Listen, when we pray for people, we have a God-given authority in God, legally purchased by his blood, to pray for people and know that God will heal. Because it's been done. It's not negotiable. You don't have to go and fight the devil. It's not an issue where you have to debate with him. You just turn to the cross. And he realizes. I'll tell you what he realizes. It's a nice opportunity to pause there. Jesus' death and resurrection meant Jesus defeated, dethroned, disarmed the devil and his works. You have to, when you begin to pray for people, you need to know Jesus already purchased their healing. It's been done. What activates that is a man and woman of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So when we're going to pray for people, it's not like, God, we hope. No, God, I know you've already done it. So now we step in faith and we partner with the Holy Spirit. By the way of the cross, listen to this. I'll repeat it once or twice. By the way of the cross, Jesus inflicted on Satan a total, permanent, eternal, and irrevocable defeat. Come on. Read it again. By the way of the cross, Jesus inflicted on Satan a total, permanent, eternal, and irrevocable defeat. He's defeated. And so the only time he gets victory is when you believe something that he believes, and that's a lie. Come on. And so we have mindsets, we have thought patterns in our minds of what we believe, even when it comes to sickness, and it's completely contrary to what God's word says. Completely contrary. And yet we see it with Scripture. When we look at the cross, Jesus has purchased our victory. Through the resurrection, Jesus validated his deity, his kingdom, and his dominion over the kingdom of darkness. He validated it. Where's Jesus now? The Bible says, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for the church.
So Jesus doesn't have to do anything more. He says, if you go to the court, ask for the court papers, get the verdict. What does the verdict say? Okay, let's get the Bible. It says, it is finished. Come on. It is finished. So why are we debating if or not? God says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and certain of what we do not see. Smith Wigglesworth, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by what I believe. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. You cannot be a man and woman of faith if you don't know the Word of God. And not know it from an intellectual point of view, because that doesn't lead to action. Faith is established in the heart, leads to action. If that makes sense. Sin and sickness and the death, spiritual and physical, have been conquered by Jesus. And I already said he's now seated at the right hand of the Father. No more needs to be done. Point number three, Jesus in the Scriptures. He manifested the kingdom to his disciples and those following him by what he did. Listen to John 20, verse 30. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these, listen to this. This is the summary of why you read the book of John, the key scripture. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in his name. That means healing as well. Later on, it just says there weren't enough books if we had to write everything that Jesus did. You go read on further. Listen to this. Luke 4, verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. So it's not like he healed some. Other passages say, and he healed them all, and he healed them all. Other times he just spoke a word. Other times he laid hands on them. Other times he spat in the mud. Other times he'd walk past a whole lot of sick people and read the scriptures. Listen to this, Mark 6:54. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him, Jesus, and ran. Brad, you're very prophetic this morning. Ran about the whole region. Listen to this. So when he got out the boat, now they're running around in the whole region, bringing. How's this? He's out of the boat. They recognize it's Jesus. The whole region, the people are running. Watch this. They ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, watch this. Villages, cities, countryside, listen, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him, Lord, that they might touch even the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched it were made well. Come on. This is the Jesus that went to the cross. That when he died, he had made access to the supernatural power of God, that what he walked in, legally we could step into his sons and daughters, it's ours. It's not something we have to beg for. It's not for the elders, not for the prophets. This is, if you're a son and a daughter, the same spirit that raised Jesus is the same spirit that's living on the inside. That's your authority. But you see, if I can lie to you, I can disarm your authority, you have no power because you have no authority. But the minute you realize your authority, you can access lies. You can access a lie because I know that's not the truth. Amen? So that was Jesus' ministry. Then we jump off and we see after Jesus' death and resurrection, Pentecost happens, and now we see the apostles demonstrated the evidence of a kingdom reality. Before Jesus departed, he said, and he spoke to his disciples about the kingdom of God, and then he ascended. And he said, wait for the promised gift of the Father, the Holy Spirit, and you receive power. Apostles demonstrated the evidence of a kingdom reality, and they did the same works as Jesus. Acts 5:12. And the apostles performed many. How do you define many? Okay? Because we read over things and we go, many signs. No, no, many. Not the signs, many. So the apostles were operating and ministering to many people. Many signs and wonders amongst the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared to join them. That's after Ananias and Sapphira. Even though they were highly regarded by the people, nonetheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Listen to this. As a result, it's like, da-da-da-da-da, as a result, listen to this. People brought the sick into the streets. Sound familiar? Huh? Into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Jesus had garments. Remember that. At least Peter's shadow might fall on them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick, those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. That was Peter's shadow. Come on. Look at your shadow. So when last did you heal someone? Come on, huh? I mean, that's Bible. That is kingdom reality right there. The canvas that God wants us to work on is so much bigger, friends. Acts 19:11. This one's such a good one. I love telling this one. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. So that, here's again, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Come on. Hey, shadows got me, but now just Paul's handkerchief. Here, go, heal. Yeah. I mean, live in that reality. Live with that understanding. The hearing, Peter's shadow healing people. Now, the anointing is so strong on the Apostle Paul that he just has to lay his hands on hankies that touched his skin. And I'm going like, how does a demon know to leave a body when a handkerchief comes to him? I mean, I ask logical questions. What is going through the demon's mind? I love to jump into scripture and role play. I'm the demon in the body. And I'm tormenting them. And there's a hanky coming. I'm like, how's the hanky? You've got to let scripture come alive, friends. It's a reality. People, this is what the people saw. Why? So can I make a suggestion? That maybe they understood the authority they had. Maybe they just understood the authority that they had. And then, point number five, Philip, an ordinary man just like you and me. So yeah, okay, it's Jesus. Oh no, it's for the apostles. I tell you, persecution happens. The church is scattered. Acts 8:5. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed Christ to them. The multitudes gave heed to one accord to the things that were being spoken by Philip. Philip's not the preacher. Hello? He's a deacon. He's preaching into a city where? Samaria. In some area. No, Samaria. It's like Brad's going to Iran. He says Iran. So I say to guys, did he say Iran or he's going to Iran? So anyway, the multitudes gave heed to in one accord to the things that were spoken by Philip. When they saw and heard the signs he performed. He's just a deacon. Many. Here's the word. This is a deacon. Hello? Many. All of a sudden was the apostles or the shadow or the handkerchief. Hold on. Many is now being associated with a guy that was just serving in the church. And many unclean spirits came out of those who had them. And they were crying out with a loud voice. Can you imagine that session? Holy Ghost session. A whole lot of people coming out screaming with loud voices. Can you imagine the anointing and the presence of God on this deacon? Huh? Others were afflicted with palsy and who were lame were healed. So there was great joy in the city. How can a deacon bring great joy to a place in Samaria, which we know how the Jews felt about Samaria? A deacon. I mean, doesn't that just blow your mind. This is an ordinary man, just like you and me, loves God, goes and proclaims the gospel of the kingdom. And signs and wonders followed. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon also believed after being baptized. He continued with Philip, and seeing the signs and great miracles wrought, he was amazed. Referring to Simon, sorcerer. Isn't that beautiful? And we fit in with Philip. That's where we jump into scripture. That's you and that's me. That's what God has for you and me. As a son and a daughter. So what does that mean? Jesus said to us. Point number six. Jesus said to us. Mark 16, 17, 18. These signs will accompany those that believed. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Who said that? Who said that? Tell me, who said it? So whose word do we have to believe? Whose testimony do we have to believe? Who's truly, truly, I say? Jesus wants to, truly, who said that? Jesus said it. He said, the signs will accompany those that believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Mark 10, 7. And proclaim as you're going, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. There's our job description as sons and daughters of God, right there. That's our job description. So what is the will of God for my life? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. So how are you doing if that's the measuring stick? Because this is the measure of our faith. Point number seven, seeing that I'm behaving and doing well on time. Good. It is God's heart, it's his nature and it's his character to heal and deliver. He loves to heal. Point number eight gets faster now. God uses men and women who love people and are moved with compassion to minister and heal others. This morning I was even struggling to put my heart into the message because when I talk on the subject of healing, you have to carry a heart of compassion. I remember James Cowell, the guy that got healed, he had taken his son with, and his son says, I want to walk in what you walk in, Oral Roberts. He just ignored him. So this young guy pestered him. He pestered him. So eventually he says, okay, I'll pray for you for that. But he says, I want to tell you this. Are you willing to love the sick like he does? Then I'll pray for you. Because that's what you need. That's what you need. A love for the sick. Not just I love people. No, you love the sick. When you see sick people, you're moved with compassion. You're deeply moved by their suffering, by the consequences for family members, the suffering that families have to go through when someone gets diagnosed with cancer or someone has to have a heart operation. We're moved with compassion. The scriptures say when Jesus healed, it says he was moved with compassion. It's amazing when Moses sees the glory of God. God's goodness. It's the first thing he speaks about. And then he speaks about God's compassion. God is compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. Number nine. We grow and increase our muscle of faith in the area of healing by persistently risking and praying for people who are sick. So I've prayed for a lot of people. It's part of the job description. The sick people come to you. You don't have to go look for sick people. As an elder, anoint and pray for the sick. And I have seen people healed, and I've seen people not healed. Now park that bus. But I have to come back to my first point. Sickness does not come from God. That's where I go and I park my heart. So it doesn't come from you, Father. I'm not going to try and then explain, so why didn't? I just put people back on the cross. Be persistent in your faith. Keep trusting. Keep believing. So we grow and increase our muscle. I don't go to gym. I just got a prototype body from the Lord. So it just
I don't want to go to gym and intimidate people. It's just not right. So, but I know that to develop a muscle over a period of time, you have to go through measures of pain and suffering. So you get it until you break that threshold. And that's what happens with your faith. You get smacked with defeat after defeat after defeat after defeat after defeat. And God says, wait till that threshold, and bam, you get a breakthrough. And you go, yes, I've broken through. I have faith for backs. I have faith for ankles. I have faith for X, Y, and Z. And your faith begins to develop. And as you grow your muscle, you can pick up more weight so you can carry more of the gifting of healing. And God starts giving you areas of influence and healing that others aren't working, but you're exercising the faith. The minute you stop exercising, you lose the ability to pick up that weight. You cannot go back into gym, jump with the 60 kgs if you haven't done it for a while. Your muscles will tear. It's exactly the same. That's why the word says, meditate on my word day and night. So that you never have a moment for your faith to decrease. Day and night, we meditate on. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. That muscle has to be exercised. So if you're going to run around and pray for people with cancer, I do believe God can sovereignly break in and use simple faith to heal people. I do believe that. But generally, God takes you on a spiritual exercise of muscle to exercise your faith. And you start praying for people, and more God entrusts you with the anointing to see incredible healings. And that's what I'm trusting. Recently had a friend that prophesied, and old Zach, he just, no, Mark, God showed me clearly you're going to raise the dead. That's God's purpose. But if I'm not praying for headaches, I'm still a long way off. I prayed for fevers, children with fevers. I've seen them break, just like that. So it's like, scriptures say gifts, not gift of healing, gifts. There's a multiplicity. God varies in his ability to give all types of gifts. And I'll unpack that just a little bit. We as Christians can risk releasing the gift of faith to manifest the gift of healing by taking God at his word. So exercise the gift of faith with the gift of healing by taking God at his word. 20 more points and we're done. Healing is never one size fits all gift. He, Jesus, himself, in different packages for different people at different times in different situations. And so if you look at the Word of Faith movement, Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn, how they do it. You look at John Wimber and the Third Wave. You look at the Toronto Blessing, worship, waiting, soaking, resting with John Arnott. You look at Sozo Healing Ministry and you get the Freedom Prayer, then the Elijah House Method, John and Paula Sanford, and then they get the John G. Lake. So God has different packages for different people that carry different things. So it's not just you get it and then it's a one fits all. You get those that have ability, and when Guy and I used to talk, Guy would always talk about the healing that happens on the outside. I mean, that's his passion. He just loves to see healings. I love to see healing on the inside. The greatest healing for me is the healing of the heart. What happens on the inside is so much more important to me than happens on the outside. But I've realized sometimes you have to start on the outside to get onto the inside. Amen? And so I'm trusting to see more healing so I can get to the heart. When you get to the heart, then God's got the door open. He can begin to bring truth into your heart. And just to say this, a few facts about healing. Healing sometimes happens gradually, sometimes instantaneously, and most of us prefer the second one. You want to pray? Whoops, there we go. Thank you. Next one. Doom. And Jesus, we know, he prayed for a man, rubbed his eyes, and then he prayed for him a second time. And so I don't want us to just think it's one fits all. There's a journey that God takes you on. Even when praying for people, some people smack people. I remember watching TB Joshua, the guy in Nigeria. Am I right? I mean, he's like got hundreds of people in his line. And I mean, he just smacks them on the head like that. And they just go flying all over the place. And so they barely even touch the ground, and they pull the,
pull the people away because it's the great man of God. And I'm like devastated because I'm like, as the person lands, I want to see if God wants to do. The pastor heart of me comes and like, did they land well? You know, all that. Because, I mean, God can make us undignified. But I believe sometimes we can be very unhelpful with the way we pray for people. If we had Smith Wigglesworth around here, and you had cancer, he'd punch you in the stomach. And he'd pull the cancer out. He'd kick the dead baby across the stage. It was alive on the other side. I was reading of family members in Bill Johnson. They prayed, got prayed for by Smith Wigglesworth. And they'd be baptized under the power of God, grab a piece of paper, and just write. And they couldn't read it because they write in Chinese. How's that? I mean, I remember at John G. Lake, he says he came to a family, there was a family of 10 in this house. I was just so fascinated because we are so boxed in how God does things when the Holy Spirit comes and in power. We just like, everything must work out logically in the kingdom. So he prays for the one child, and this child starts acting out a play. He prays for the second child, and the child starts acting out a play. And then after praying for all 10 children, this is John G. Lake, not in those days we had cell phones you can record. And he said, they all performed a play of creation under the power of God. We are so limited and what God can do under the power of the Holy Spirit. It just blows your mind away how God can. And so he uses people with different methods, different skills, and different styles. All the same Spirit with the same faith. Amen? Those are the ingredients. So God often allows me to blow on people. It's like very awkward. So you make sure you've got good mints. But often I feel the anointing so strong, I just blow because they don't receive. Blow and they receive. Why? I don't know. That's how God uses me. Other times my hand will be so heavy, it's like Thor. Why? I don't know, but God chooses to use me in that moment like that. I don't try, okay, God, why is the hand heavy? He's like, go have fun. And so he might choose to use you differently. Just find, however he does, make sure you go through the gate of your elders. If you're feeling to punch someone, make sure you have an elder. Just hear what I'm saying. Elders are gatekeepers. I don't want to promote stuff. Lastly, basic tips when praying for people. It's good to ask the person their name and what's wrong. A little bit of their story. But please, don't let them go for too long. Because often after people have finished their story, I've got no faith. Because I'm so moved with compassion for their suffering, I'm like, oh, how can we get a meal to this person? How can we? I'm thinking of all the logistics to make sure this person's feeling loved. All they need is healing, but the pastor heart of me just, I'm not ready to pray for you. I just need to care for you now. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so I say, people, how long you been? A week. Okay, great. What's the condition? And then we pray. We don't pray these long, long prayers because the longer the prayer, the more indication that you don't know what you're doing. Oh, Lord, we thank you. And then we just say a whole lot of stuff and the person is there is going, why is he praying that stuff? I'm guilty, man. I'm waiting for the goosebumps. So okay, now it's there. Okay, let's pray now, you know. Anyway, don't pray long prayers. Short but with authority. Watch the person for signs of change. If nothing's happening, try to hear from God if there's an underlying problem. Word of knowledge, discernment, and I'll get to that. Ask the person if they're experiencing or feeling anything. So genuinely, when I was praying last night and I could feel the presence of God and I could feel it touching the person, I'd say, can you feel that? Mm. And I said, there's more. Then they just receive more. Just because this is God. Okay, yeah, have more. Just receive more. Give good feedback. And then again, pray. We just say, hey, square out of 10 if you were with your pain. Is it now 0 or 10?
and then in between. And sometimes people say, hey, four, there's some, pray again. Just trust God. Sometimes they come back the next day and say, yo, God did the rest of the healing. I woke up this morning completely. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes it's a process. Hope that's helpful. I'm doing really well. Great. For 19 seconds. Tell a story. So Oral Roberts makes a statement like this. He says, the most powerful and profound healings he ever saw was on the back of deliverance. How's that? There we go. That's a man that operated in great faith. He makes the statement. I mean, Oral Roberts University, I mean, this man understood healing. He said the most profound healings that he saw was on the back of deliverances. Why? Because the devil comes to rob, kill, and destroy. All he needs is to partner with a lie you believe. And he can hang around until he's exposed. The minute he's exposed, that sickness has to go with him. Amen? Because you have legal right to be healed. Because of Jesus. Amen? Amen. So I trust this morning that you are stirred in your faith to become a man and a woman who is comfortable risking to pray for people. Remember when I went to Bethel, when I turned 40, I'm only 41 now. No, joking. I don't have gray hair yet, just on the beard. And I enjoyed just some of their culture was they didn't just always celebrate the healing and the non-healing. They celebrated the culture of risk. And I think we've lost that as the church. As we're so preoccupied if God doesn't, well, at least I believed. The rest is actually up to God. And sometimes I prayed for people, I haven't seen the result, and was like, oh, God didn't heal. The next day they come, I'm better. It was like, God was like, see, you didn't get the glory. I did. Like, oh, that humbled me. I thought, oh, I'm the man anointed. Let's pray. Nothing happens. Not anointed anymore. Next day, I'm healed. Oh, God healed you. Yeah. God loves humility. When we begin to be released in the area of healing, that we come to the place, it's always God heals. We're simply the vessel that he uses because of our faith. He can access. Amen.